This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning, everyone. Representative Kent Peterson, District 19 from Salem, House Assistant Majority Leader. It's been another busy week here. You know, as we're getting closer, the crossover day next Friday is imminent, and I know I serve on House State Affairs and House Judiciary Committees, and we've had full dockets and then some each day. And State Affairs met twice yesterday, and we're getting down to, I think, the last six or seven bills of the House side in State Affairs next week. And I know Judiciary has, you know, seven or eight. And so we'll get those hearings completed and get prepared to get through crossover day next week. And then move on. You know, big thing this week was obviously the budget revenue projections have been set, the targets, and so we will, you know, now that we have some certainty, as we've told you for two or three weeks, that we can't really talk about it. Well, now we can talk about it a little bit and start to look at, you know, within our caucuses, some of the priorities that we feel are important for South Dakota, and work through, you know, the different ideas that members may bring. And see how that fits into the overall budget picture. So look forward to your questions today.
Representative Lee Quam, District 21, House Majority Leader. I will concur with everything that the Assistant Leader said. Very busy week, and we're not going to do much today. We're just going to run the consent calendar and let everybody get out. They got a four-day weekend, and make as much of it as they can so they get back, because we're going to have a push next week to get everything done and move on. You know, I guess the good news with the budget is it came out where we revenues are coming up, and so that's a good thing. So there is a little money there that we can do some things with. So start just preliminary talking in the caucus about what they'd like to do with it. You know, what are some of their priorities, and that will be more defined next week.
I would echo those comments too, because the big thing this week for in the Senate was the revenue estimates. That's what we spent the majority of our time speaking about, what the priorities of the caucus are going to be. Right now, we're definitely probably going to try to do something for providers and state employees, really trying to figure out what that is. But that was the main topic of discussion this week, was the revenue estimates. So the leader's here, and he can follow up with as he wishes.
Morning. Who's first?
You are. All in.
Oh, I'm just saying hello. Who's got a question? I don't have anything to say to start off this morning, other than I have a cold, so excuse me if my voice leaves us.
Good morning. I was curious to hear a little bit more, if you have a sense of it, about priorities for the additional revenue. Does $19 million give you enough money to help out those three categories that normally get a little bit extra at the end? Do you feel satisfied with that level of extra funding coming in?
I'll start since I was tardy. I think it's premature to discuss what we're going to do with the budget in its entirety. Senate and House leadership have had some great initial discussions about our collective priorities. I think we're on the same page or walking in the same path at this point, and I'm fairly certain that at least the GOP will be marching pretty close to lockstep in how we'd like to approach the budget in its entirety. That's always subject to change until we get down to the last couple of days, as you know, but at this point the discussions have been fruitful, but I think it's a little premature to discuss what our proposal is going to be at this point.
I would agree with what Leader Kurt said. You know, we've had some great discussions between the four of us, you know, talking about what our priorities are, and they're a lot on the same page. Obviously, we have not come to any agreement at anything, but the preliminary was very, very good, and, you know, you'll find out more as we go along, but not ready to talk about a whole lot yet.
Have you had community support providers, educators, other groups come to you and offer their pitch for what amount of money they'd like to see?
I have not been contacted by anyone personally. I know the last time I said that, I got contacted by a lot of folks, so I suppose I'm opening it up for contact. But I think probably in general, interested parties are still somewhat reacting to the revenue estimate and are probably operating prior to the official adoption under what they understood the case to be before we had the more recent data. So I would imagine as the change in revenue estimates makes its way through the collective constituencies that we'll start to hear more over the next couple of weeks, and people will be advocating for their respective positions as they always do, and we welcome that kind of input and feedback, and then we'll put all that information together and try and make what we believe to be the best decision for the entire state given the resources that we have at our disposal.
I would agree with that. You know, obviously there are groups, you know, until 4 days ago, they weren't expecting really any of this. So as we're, you know, we had been cautiously optimistic that it was maybe getting a little better, but until we saw the actual numbers, it was pure speculation. And now that we have, you know, I've seen them, like Leader Kurd said, it changes the discussion a little bit, and I'm sure, you know, those discussions will continue on here in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
I would just follow up. We had a nice presentation in State Affairs yesterday from the state employee lobbyist and showing us some numbers and some ideas of how to go, and that was in regards to it was a Senate bill up. I don't remember the number offhand, but he gave a nice presentation yesterday.
It may be helpful to think about it in context, although an additional $16, $18, $20 million is a ton of money. When you set it against the entire state budget, the general fund at $1.6 billion, it's only a percent and a half or so, and so it's not an extraordinary windfall, or it's not like Santa Claus showed up and dumped a big pile of cash down the chimney that we have to struggle with what to do with it. There are some things that have been perhaps not addressed to the degree they should have over the last couple of years because of the challenges, and so some of that funding will necessarily be used for catch-up. So I don't want to send the message that the revenue is this tremendously increased amount. It's better, but I believe that you'll see us be cautiously optimistic in our proposal, much like the legislature has been, with some slight modifications and maybe addressing things that we couldn't address appropriately in the last couple of years.
I'd agree with that as well. Yeah, that, you know, it, in the grand picture, it is very, you know, we're basically right on from, you know, basically a flat budget, you could almost say.
This one for the senators. The House has passed a bill that would ban collective bargaining at the public universities. Can you talk about how that might go in the Senate?
Well, it was narrow, I think, wasn't it? Was that close or not close? Pretty close. So, contentious issue. You know, we have not really been approached with the arguments from either side, except by the speaker, myself, at least except by the speaker. I think the interested parties were spending the bulk of their time in the House and talking to House members and advocating for their positions. I'm sure that'll change now, and we'll start to hear more information from those that this would affect. I think, like any issue that we address, there are initial opinions on it that get shaped and modified by your exposure to information, and I'm confident that the committee will hear those concerns and then do their committee work, and we may or may not get the chance to act on it on the Senate floor. It's unknown at this point, but I can't give you an initial feel for it other than there's interest in it.
Is that coming to State Affairs?
I don't know.
Is it in State Affairs? Is that where it's coming? I don't know either.
Can you, again, on the Senate side, talk about the craft brewing proposals? How are there developments there?
Curious that you would ask about that. Senator Maher and I just stepped out of a meeting with the interested parties, and I think we're making forward progress there. I don't have anything to announce to you today, but we're going to resolve this issue one way or the other by next Friday. I can commit to you that. It's been a great process to be involved with. I've learned a lot more about the manufacturer, distribution, sale of beer in the last 3 weeks than I ever knew before. I've decided to switch over to drinking spirits now after that. But, no, it's been good. I think, as I have said before, there's so many things that the interested parties share in common, and that's, you know, that everyone wants to make more beer and everyone wants to sell more beer, and what we're talking about now is how we get that in the hands of the eventual consumer. And I think we're going to get to something that is palatable, if you will, by the folks that are interested in the issue. And I hope we get it in a format that doesn't have to be addressed in the House, so that they can just listen to the proposal and find that it's favorable. But you never know. I mean, it could come out of our chamber thinking that we've scrubbed it up in the best format possible, and then sometimes additional information is provided and things need to be modified. So I'm hopeful at this point, and I think we'll have something that everybody can get behind.
So would the goal be to have one bill coming out of the Senate?
Well, there's several alcohol bills already. It doesn't matter to me how many bills there are, as long as the issues are addressed. So if some things are in one bill and some are in the other, or there's one bill in total, it really doesn't make a difference to me. It's somewhat more efficient to have it contained in one. And that may be a preference. That way in the House they can address just one issue. But I don't have any pride of ownership. I just want to see a solution and a resolution.
Both chambers this week took up issues regarding the initiated measure process. Any thoughts about the bills that made it out of either chamber and what you might be looking for as other proposals come before you?
We've been having the discussion since there's so many coming out that as we get closer to crossover, we're going to take a look and see what bills have passed where, decide if there's conflicts, if they can all work together, and just see where we're at in that respect, because there's no sense in passing stuff that's going to be in conflict, and then it just gets very sticky to get to where, you know, we think we improve the process instead of making it potentially worse. And so that's a conversation that we've started to have just a little bit. And as we get closer, once we know kind of what's been passed out of the houses, then we're going to, you know, kind of look at, okay, where do we want to go with this stuff?
We had one, I think it was yesterday, Representative Rosem had the single subject initiated measure proposal that was put on to a previous bill that had been defeated a couple of weeks ago, and I believe that passed through the House yesterday, and some good discussion on that one, you know, with going forward. And one thing that was added was an amendment to make it not affect this year's ballot, and the intent of Representative Rosen wasn't to affect this year's ballot, and there was some question about that, and so an amendment was brought to make that active or go into effect January 1st of 19. So,
do you have a specific bill you're asking about? Because my recollection of the week is that most, if not everything that we have addressed that has survived the committee process has been mechanical or operational and not philosophical in nature. So if you could give me something that you're asking about specifically, then maybe I could address it more directly. But I think most of the things that we've tried to address and have successfully navigated the Senate have been more along the lines of making sure that people that are considering initiated measures have the information that they need and that they're well-informed, and instead of changing how people go about it, you know, putting different hurdles in place or requirements. We haven't really, I don't think, done a lot of that in the Senate yet, at least on the floor. The House has had more bills of that nature than we have because of the Speaker's interest. So we've not seen many of those things really that have made it to the Senate floor yet.
It looks like the Senate has industrial hemp up in a few minutes. Is there any sense of whether that might advance this year?
my guess is that's probably going to go the wayside like it has in years past. I don't see anybody changing their position. The committee hasn't changed from last year, and they had it last year. So, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but as of right now, I don't see a whole lot changing up there.
Can you all talk about maybe your positions on the Port Yankton gaming proposal? I think it's going to be up next week.
I believe that's coming to Senate local government. I serve on that committee. It's going to be an interesting debate. I think it'll come on a committee. We'll have that debate on the floor for the full Senate. Personally, I'm supporting it. I think it's worthy of debate, and if it can help that community in that part of the state, I'm being supportive of it. I'd be supportive of it. So.
Sure. I know we're kind of just monitoring to see what's going on with the Senate. You know, obviously this is us authorizing it to go to the vote of the people. You know, we're obviously showing support, but we're mostly showing support of the idea moving forward to the will of the people of the state, because it's a constitutional change. So I am going to support the opportunity to have it go to the people if it would come to the House side. So we'll just kind of see what happens in the Senate.
It's going to be if it comes on a committee, which I think it will, but if it comes to the floor of the Senate, I don't know that it necessarily leaves the floor of the Senate. I think it's going to be a very close vote. I think it's going to be a very spirited and lively debate.
So the state affairs passed the Marcy's Law compromise yesterday. The campaign would like to see it go on the June ballot. Is that something that the leaders would support?
I don't know. That's a discussion that really hasn't been had yet. I understand that that's where they would like to put it. Don't know if that will happen or not. There's some pushback from that it's too quick, that not enough people will have the opportunity to vote on it. You know, there's a myriad of reasons not to. We just haven't got to the point of saying, yeah, it's a good idea. And so that will be a discussion that will have to be had and see if it can be done.
In Senate Education this morning, a proposal to prohibit teaching gender identity was hog-housed. Now it had to do with standardized testing, and that got tabled too. But that marks the end of, at this point, proposals that were written to deal with gender or transgender issues. Do you think that's a good thing? Are you glad those conversations are over, or is it something the legislature should continue talking about or thinking about in the future?
I guess the committee did its job. I mean, I'm sure it's not an issue that's going to go away anytime soon. It probably has subsided for this session, but if we're naive enough to think that it's gone away for next session, I don't think it has.
We had a bill in House Judiciary this week on the bathroom issue, and some posting of signage and things like that. And the thought of the committee was that it's a local issue handled at the local level, and that bill was defeated.
Dana, I think we'll continue to talk about it here as long as the people of South Dakota tell us they want to continue to talk about it. And when the public loses interest in a subject and doesn't believe it to be a priority anymore, as evidenced by their representatives or senators not bringing it forward, that's when the discussion will cease. So in general, issues that we address here are brought to us by constituents with concerns. Sometimes they develop innately from the representative or senator and don't reflect a constituency, but in most cases they do.
Well, I would agree with everything that's been said. I would assume that everything is, that we won't see anything. But until we declare sine die, you never know what might resurrect itself. So you never say never.
I asked this of the Democratic leaders that were in here earlier, but your impressions on the working relationship this session with members from the other side of the aisle seems a little more cordial this year than in past years.
Well, in the Senate, that's my own caucus, so the aisle, you know, we're on both sides of it. Is that what you mean? I'm just kidding. I have a very solid relationship with Billy Sutton and Troy Hinert. Senator Maher and I had dinner with those two individuals last night. We talk about just about everything that happens in the Senate, and we have a great free flow of ideas and a great discussion. I consider those two gentlemen two of my best friends in the legislature for sure. And I enjoy the relationship. We challenge each other. We clearly don't always agree, but we're always respectful. And it's really been one of the most enjoyable parts about being out here. What'd they say? Okay. To find out if I have to whip someone's butt or not.
You know, in the House as well, we have a good relationship with Spence and Julie. And obviously, Julie and I serve in the same district. And so, you know, we know what's going on with each other, what each other's thinking. We talk a lot. We have great dialogue. We have great respect for him. So I think we have a great relationship with him.
Any other takeaways from this week or looking ahead to next week that you'd want to share?
Well, I know the one that's coming up on our side next week that really hasn't been talked about for a few weeks is the Precision Ag Project, and that'll be coming into the House State Affairs Committee next Wednesday. And it's a project a lot in the ag community have been working to get together on and find ways to hopefully bring this project to fruition at the campus of SDSU. And there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes work happening the last month or so, but now it's going to kind of start coming to the forefront on the ideas and obviously potential funding issues and sources as we get further into session. A lot of that's still very early in the process of finalization, but the discussions are being had, and we're kind of rolling that out to our caucus in the next, you know, first part of the week as well, and look to have a good discussion and get it across to the other side and hopefully have a good discussion with the Senate. And I know we've already started that, the discussion as well. You know, it's something that I think, in my opinion, as a farmer, can benefit our state for years to come and has the opportunity, you know, if you look back in the history of SDSU and what the engineering program did for Daktronics, this has the opportunity to do that for businesses we don't even know exist yet. And it's something, in my opinion, that could transform the way we do agriculture and many other things in South Dakota and also the rest of the world, because we'd have the opportunity to be the first one.
I guess it hasn't been brought up this morning, but it probably bears thinking about a little bit, and to go slightly off topic, but for the grace of God, we have not had an event in South Dakota like in Parkland, Florida. And that's not to say that it can't happen here. As you know, we've had a school shooting in the southeast part of South Dakota in the last couple of years. I'm sure you've all covered that in the media. And the legislature has taken steps to encourage school districts to have a plan in place for something like Parkland should that occur here. And I think that it continues to be kind of a clarion call for our educational leaders to make sure that they've looked at that plan and dusted it off. Should something as horrific, tragic, and unthinkable as that occur in one of our schools, we would like to see that the carnage is as limited as possible. And so I just would like to remind everybody that the world is sometimes a much more dangerous place than we would like it to be, and that people need to be alert and prepared and consider that sometimes tragedy does strike close to home. And clearly our thoughts and prayers go out to the good people in Parkland, Florida. I know we've all been thinking about them over the last couple days.
I would just put a plug in, you know, here a few years ago we had that school sentinel program. person should really go out to the DCI Center and follow up story on what they've been able to do out there with the class to treat, to train the Sentinels, and how they've been able to take the program that they currently use and set it up in a classroom situation and run people through there and teach them how to react and interact in a in a hostile situation like that. Because we had that opportunity here last week. Senator Curt and I went out and did the enhanced concealed carry program, and he's the guy, the instructor who runs that program, stepped us through what they've been doing with the school Sentinel program, and it's really quite fascinating now that they've had about 3 years to develop that program.
Yeah, Senator Maher is right. We've spent a fair amount of time at the DCI over the last couple of weeks, myself and he, and it's really a world-class facility there with terrific instruction, and any district that has an interest in the school Sentinel program and the training that's available here in South Dakota, I would encourage them to get off their butts and get it done, because it's a great resource that we have available here, and I think it should be taken advantage of if it hasn't been done so by schools already.
I would certainly agree with that. The world we live in is far different than it was 10 years ago. It just, you know, with all the violence that you see on TV and everything, I think sometimes people almost get immune to it and just think it's almost a way of life, and it just makes, if you're a little bit messed up in your thinking, it's a lot easier to go down that road. You look at these video games, my goodness, it's unbelievable how violent they are. And if your mind's a little warped, you can wrap yourself around some of that stuff and think, well, that's fine. So I think there's so many things that enter into why these things happen. And the Sentinel program is a great program. And just excited that South Dakota has that moving forward, and I just don't think you can be too safe in this day and age, because you never know, unfortunately, when something might happen.
I feel like I already know the answer, but does there need to be more conversation about gun control at this point in South Dakota, or about additional resources for mental health after hearing about something like this, or should it be more educators dusting off what they know about these procedures and making sure they're ready?
I don't think gun control needs to enter in at all. I think there's a lot of laws in place, and some of these laws are not even being used at this point. And you know, you can't control human nature. You can't control the person. And, you know, there could be a gun laying right here. It's of no danger to anyone until somebody pulls it up and pulls the trigger. And it's the guns are not the problem. It's people that are the problem. And the mental health obviously enters into it. I heard, I think it was on Fox News this morning, they said that 70% of the people in the United States are on some kind of a medication. It's like, holy cow, that was unreal when I heard that. And they didn't elaborate and necessarily say it was all mental health stuff or whatever, but still, medications like that can, you know, change your psyche a little bit, so to speak. So gun control, no, that's not the problem.